to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the episode credits. Season 3, Episode 10, Insatiable. Guest cast Sasha Royce as Marcus Diamond and Johnny Picard as Dwayne Maddox. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson. Written by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes. Executive Story Editor, Derek A. Hughes. Directed by Constantine Macris. Original air date, September 19th, 2011.
Walter Sykes needs to be brought to justice.
See, you're not looking for justice. You're looking for vengeance.
If some psycho tried to off your mother, wouldn't you want payback?
You never met my mother.
We're back with Season 3, Episode 10, Insatiable. The artifact of the week from Warehouse Wiki was the glass jar from the Donner Party. In 1846, the Donner Party began their migration from the Midwest of America to the state of California via the Oregon Trail. Along the way, they lost most of their wagons and cattle due to mishaps, river crossings, and a dangerous terrain. But the worst was yet to come. The ill-fated party, after taking a different route called the Hastings Cutoff, then became trapped high in the Sierra Nevada mountains by heavy snowfall, where they were stuck for almost 4 months. By the time they were rescued, 39 of the 87-member party had died of various causes, such as starvation or sickness, and they had lost all but 3 mules and most of their possessions. Their despair, starvation, and sheer harshness of the conditions likely imbued the jar with its properties. In the olden days, people would put money in glass jars like this and bury them in a place that could be found later. This was one of the jars that the Donner Party used as a kind of a time capsule.
When people place items, mainly money, into the jar, they develop increasingly severe symptoms. Stage 1, chills and hunger. The victim will start to act erratically. Stage 2, hypothermia and starvation. At this point, the victim will be driven to near insanity by their craving and will eat anything and anyone they can in a desperate bid to stop the agony. Stage 3, death. This artifact is not only a danger to its user, but also to other people. The effect of this artifact can make the victim so hungry that they would try to eat anything, even a best friend.
Artie, will you please tell Pete that the undead do not exist?
Don't be ridiculous. Of course they exist.
Thank you. What?
Told you.
The Donner Party is well known for cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
And they never mention that in the origin, except for the best friend part in the effects.
Yeah.
So I found that odd about the description.
Yeah.
Because that would make the whole thing make more sense.
Doug Gramley is off this week. This is the quick cap from Season 3, Episode 10, Insatiable. Pete and Mike are sent to Ithaca, New York, and find themselves in the middle of something that resembles a Walking Dead episode. People are being turned into beings that look and act very much like zombies. After answering a call from another victim at a fraternity house, and after Pete and Micah find one of the victim's son hiding in a closet, they are able to determine that the only thing all of the victims have in common is Manny's taco truck. Of course, Pete had a taco from the truck at the frat house before this discovery was made. But it is not Pete that turns, but Micah, because Micah is the one who paid for Pete's tacos and put a tip in a jar at the truck. By the time they find the taco truck, Micah has completely turned. Pete makes it to the taco truck and finds the jar from the Donner Party and bags it. The zombie people and Micah are all returned to normal. Meanwhile, Claudia was granted a few days off to regroup after Steve's firing. She is finishing an open mic set at the coffee shop when she meets Dwayne Maddox, who asks her to join his band. Claudia agrees to meet him the following day for rehearsal, but gets called into work before she leaves the bed and breakfast. In the warehouse, she accidentally activates the Sultan Sala fortune-telling machine. The machine begins to give her fortunes that say, "Death comes for you this night." And after a slew of mishaps and close calls, she begins to believe she is cursed. Later, Lena rescues Claudia from drowning in the warehouse, and Claudia tells her about the fortune-telling machine. Lena tells her that the machine always predicts death, and that the only way to combat its effects is to totally ignore it. In the end, we see Marcus Diamond approaching Steve to recruit him over to their cause. Claudia goes back to the coffee house to find Dwayne and gets another chance at joining his band.
So, given that the last two episodes I was up in arms about something or another, and I started first, why don't you start first?
I hate zombie movies. I just think it's just stupid. How can you kill the living dead? You gotta shoot in the brain. What's the living dead? If the dead are dead. So, I really have issues, like the series The Walking Dead. I really had an issue with that. So I can't do zombies. At first I'm going, oh, this sucks. Well, it was good though. So I'm going to go with Claudia because this is the other stuff that pissed me off. I had issues with this episode.
Okay.
We're going to go with Claudia at the club singing.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude comes up. I'm calling him dude. So when guys start acting like stupid, you're now a dude. You're not a man, you're a dude.
So Johnny Cash, Astrid Gilbert, go, and the Runaways in the same set, huh?
Yeah, that's my motto. Go eclectic or go home.
Yeah, I like to mix it up on open mic night. Claudia, right? I'm Dwayne Maddox.
Lead singer slash guitarist for Dead Rent, great band, terrible name.
So you've seen us.
South Dakota's most promising musical export, say at the blogs.
Yeah, that was before the rhythm guitarist decided to split.
So he's asking her, I guess he was in a band, he's asking her, does she want to, you know, come for audition, perform with them?
Right.
I don't like him. Something ain't right. He's setting her up.
That's what I thought, too, and I was going to ask you what you thought about him.
I don't know if he's working with Ike, right? I don't know if he's working with him. I don't know what's up, but something's up. And he's setting her up.
That's what I thought, too. And I wondered if I was just, you know, being me. Mm-mm. Or if you thought the same thing.
As soon as he said something to her, I was like, nope, something ain't right. And the other thing that made you know that something's not right is he knew where she lived at.
Exactly. That was what I was thinking, too.
How do you know where I live at?
I know. And he just said I asked around. So what did he ask? Where does the redhead girl live? I mean, what did he ask?
Right, because she's not really a social person besides, you know, the warehouse.
Right.
She's not like she got a friend or something that she calls and talks to besides Jinx.
Right, and nobody in that town likes them because they think they're the IRS.
Right, so
I got the same vibe, I'm using air quotes, about him too.
And then, in the end, how you kissing somebody you don't know?
It's not even that she didn't know him. I was kind of confused about that because, number one, at the beginning, he wasn't trying to pick her up. It didn't look like. He wanted her to join his band. So how did she spin it that this was some kind of a romantic thing?
Well, to me, he did give a hint. And it was those things that men give you when, I'm just going to play you. I'm going to play you. And I just didn't like him. Then I'm like, how are you falling for this? You that desperate?
Well, you know, in her defense, she probably is not desperate for a man, but I think she's desperate for somebody. She lost Steve.
Mm.
She's got nobody, really, her own age. She doesn't have a normal life. She doesn't have friends. So I could kind of see her falling for something like that quickly. I just didn't see how it went from him asking her to join his band to her kissing him, thinking it was romantic or something. And apparently it was, because he went right along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't say, why are you kissing me? I just want you to join my band.
Right. It was just something about him, and I'm going, she's getting set up. I believe she's getting set up.
I feel that way, too. Yeah, definitely.
I was wondering if you'd like to fill in.
Okay. Wow. So when do you think you want to jam? I mean, my schedule is just a little unpredictable, so.
Well, we rehearse in my garage. It's a red house behind the body shop. So noon tomorrow?
Yeah, that could work.
All right, see you then.
The other thing, when they were going on and on about Pete's mom.
So you just let my mom walk out? I don't get to make her stay. There is a hierarchy here. There's your mother, the regent, Mrs. Frederick. There's me, and then there's you. Oh, sorry. How rude. There's me, there's Trailer, and then there's you.
Okay, so how do we protect her from Walter Sykes if she's not here?
Her security has been tripled. She is safe. The Ramadi Shackle is safe. The warehouse is safe. The world is safe. The universe is safe. And by the way, no one asked us to help.
He's going back and forth, but he's not listening. And then Micah joins in on Artie.
Right.
Agent security has been stretched pretty thin.
Micah, please, not you two.
Artie, he does have a point, right, Ithaca Bud?
They're handling it, but you need to handle this.
Right. Historically, they're not good at that. They're not good at leaving something alone, you know?
Right. Not at all. So I'm like, really? And I'm going, why can't you just shut up for a minute and listen?
We need to go out. The regents are handling it. Let it go.
So, okay, here we go with another Pete and Micah moment. You in the woods, and you tell Pete to stay.
I know why.
Okay, so Amy said Paul heard a moaning coming from that direction. I'm gonna go that way. You stay here.
What? Alone?
Oh, ain't nobody leave me in the woods.
Right. Why didn't she want him to come with her? It didn't even make any sense.
Right. It didn't.
It wasn't like he's a child and she's trying to protect him.
Like a dog. Stay. Yeah. Stay, boy. Stay. Gotta be safe. And lucky he did come, as always. She got attacked. I thought, because I had to watch this twice. So when I watched it this morning, when the guy attacked her in the woods, you could see his cold breath. I thought it was the breath. I didn't think it was the bite.
Oh.
I thought it was the breath because Pete wasn't affected.
I didn't even think of that, yeah.
So that's what I thought at first, because when I looked at it the second time, you're almost breathing in some of that coldness.
Right.
In my head, that's what I thought it was. But then to find out later, it wasn't. It was a joke.
Yeah, yeah, because that would make it have a purpose of why they're showing us all this breath.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought. You know, I mean, I was wrong. Then I thought it was a coin in the jar, but it was the jar itself. Oh, okay. So that one I had to play back a couple of times, and then Pete didn't have a bag.
Yeah, because he probably had it in the truck, and he had to escape the truck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because that was a whole disaster. He had to escape the truck, so he probably didn't have time to grab the bag. But at least he had his gloves.
Yeah. Why is Michael going with you anyway? You leave in the hospital. She knows she's been affected by the artifact.
Right.
But she don't know why yet. Right. How are you in the car with Pete and then turn and talk about, I'm hungry, and you want to eat Pete?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you got all these workers and stuff coming because of the construction site. And then I still couldn't understand how he got her out the car. I kept on missing that part, too.
I think he just opened the door and pushed her and slid over and locked the door. And he said, I'm sorry about this before he did it, but he did it.
Okay, because I missed that one twice. And I'm going, how did this happen? Oh, shoot. And then the other thing was not to understand. Claudia needs to talk to somebody, and she's been blowing up Dee's phone. Now, when he talks to her, he was mean.
He was very mean.
What the hell is a BFFE?
Best friend forever.
Look, we're not BFFEs. We're co-workers, and now we're not, which makes us nothing.
Nothing? Steve, why would you...
I can't be any clearer, Claudia. Stop calling me. Is my number.
He was mean.
And I don't think he would have ever been that mean to her.
Right, but at the bar...
He smiled.
Yes, he did.
I know. So this is just lending to my theory that this is all an act.
Yes.
Because he smiled, and he was happy that she texted him. Because he would never talk to her like that.
No, We are both by the same conclusions anyways on this one.
Yes.
And I said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it has to be.
It does. And if I find out it's not, we're going to have to do another mini episode.
I know, really. If that does that, I'm going to be like, huh? Well, that's a good one. Because usually I can get an ending pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you stump me, I'm like, wow, good. That's good.
If you stump me and it makes sense, it's good.
Right,
If you stump me and it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to let it go, as everybody's heard, because the other episode already published by the time this one publishes. But, and this is just something little, but I liked it. I liked in the beginning when the guy and the girl were parking, and the guy kept stopping and insisting he heard something. And usually, it's the other way around. The girl stops and keeps saying, I heard something, and the guy's saying, oh, stop it. No, you don't.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I liked how they reversed that.
Yeah. That was good, yeah.
So, speaking of Steve, were you done? I'm sorry, I just cut right in.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Steve and what we just talked about, how in the last episode we thought that maybe this was all a setup with Steve being fired. And I asked, I think it was the last episode, what happens when somebody's fired? And we were talking about that because you brought up, what's her name?
Oh, back in the day.
You know, I was editing yesterday, and I'm saying, oh my God, this podcast should be named Two Women Who Can't Remember Anybody's Name. You have no idea how much I cut out of us saying, what was her name? You know, the way. And, no, I still can't remember her name. Jack and Rebecca. You brought up Rebecca, who wasn't fired. She left or retired, or her time in the warehouse was over. But my question, what I meant, I guess, is normally if you leave, most of the time you leave on good terms. But if you're fired, you got to imagine the person being fired is disgruntled. So... you don't want him out in the world with the warehouse secrets. That's why I asked what happens. Like, do they erase their mind?
And maybe then, they get bronzed.
That's what I'm thinking. Does anybody actually even get fired? because we haven't seen anybody that's gotten fired. We've seen people who have gone evil and taken off,
right?
Or gone evil and were bronzed, or like HG is now in some kind of limbo prison. So does anybody even get fired? And I have to imagine if they fired somebody and just let them leave, then do all this stuff like take his credit away. They notify all other government agencies that he can't work there. You know, they take his passport. So now you're really pissing off the guy who's already pissed off because he's fired.
Right.
Artie, what happened in Atlanta?
Something bad between Steve and Mrs. Frederick. A notice was issued to all government agencies that Jinx was persona non grata. They burned his credit rating and his passport.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're just sending him into the arms of some evil group.
Well,
which is another reason why I think this is fake, because I can't imagine that they would fire somebody and do all this horrible stuff to them, leaving them with no job, no money, no identification, and think that they're just going to go about their life and not try to get revenge on the warehouse.
Right.
So that's another reason why I think he's undercover and this is all set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely the smile when Claudia called. I was like, nope.
Yeah, that's what I said. And sure enough, evil presents itself.
Yeah. We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Doug here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good and the 13th Warehouse. If you are a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you are also a fan of Eureka. If you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and Doug Gramley over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You're right. I did not like the zombie plot of this episode. I didn't. Which is why I have hardly any notes about it. But I did kind of like the Claudius and Steve side of it.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That part.
Well, we already talked about how we think this guy is no good. You know, Artie, and it's not his fault, but he's always pushing for Claudia to have a normal life. So she's out playing her guitar. She meets somebody. She wants to join a band. And of course, Artie takes the days off away from her.
I thought I had 2 days off.
Lena's busy. I'm getting on a plane. I need you to do some research. Everything we've got on living death artifacts.
Yeah, Artie, you specifically forbade me from...
I changed my mind. I'm mercurial. Deal with it.
Yeah, not exactly the adjective I'd choose right now.
You know, so she's in the warehouse and she gets upset and she yells too loud and she activates that fortune-telling thing who kept telling her that she was going to die. So there was a point where Artie called in to ask her something. Yes, we know that Artie's busy with the zombies, but he specifically asks her what's wrong. And all she had to do was tell him that she activated the fortune-teller thing and she wouldn't have had to go through everything she went through in the episode.
Right.
Because he could have told her, like Lena finally did, that it's something that hypnotizes you and you just have to ignore it. But no, she doesn't say anything. And she goes through the whole episode thinking she's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So she's cursed. And then there was one point, because remember we keep talking about that painting and the nanobots?
Yes.
There was one point when the kid came to the bed and breakfast where the light broke.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I looked at it, there was something going up the wall.
Yes.
And I thought those were the nanobots from the painting. But I think it just was a line of electricity the second time I watched it. Which leads me to the question, do you think maybe the nanobots were behind a lot of the things that happened?
Actually, I forgot about the nanobots.
I keep forgetting about them too. And every once in a while, they jump into my brain. You know, Lena said the thing hypnotized her, but how could it hypnotize her to knock that lion statue down? You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes things just happen. Sometimes things just happen. Things move if they're not placed right, and it could have happened. You know, people could have walked by a million times, but that million and one time, that's when it finally wallows and falls.
There was a lot of things that happened. I understand that you could put yourself in danger accidentally because you're hypnotized, but these aren't anything she did.
I think these were just normal things that would have happened because of the energy. Because remember that time when Pete and Michael were yelling in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, yeah, season one, and it activated some of the things in the warehouse. Artie's telling them, chill, and ended up squirting with goo.
That's right. I forgot about that. Okay, that makes sense.
Her energy from, you know, like Leon's saying, if you don't pay it any mind, nothing happens. But she's got all this anxiety in her that something's going to happen because one thing fell. Like, you know, like I said, when it rains, it pours. It was just going to happen and happen and happen until Lena said it. And Lena didn't say it, it still would have continued to happen because she's jinxing her own self.
Yeah, that makes sense. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. I did love The Walking Dead. I did. I stopped watching it a while ago, but mm-hmm. I did because that was more about the people than the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But this show is hitting every issue that I have. This show, remember the food issue with him licking the Farnsworth and then the drool issue that I have. And now it's like people eating animals. Even the squirrel where they didn't even show it. All somebody had to say was he was eating a squirrel.
Send someone over here now. He's crazy. He ate a squirrel and he keeps trying to bite me. Get the hell away from me.
I swear to God, if there's an episode about feet, I'm out.
Are you talking about when he was in the basement eating the rat and the rat was still alive?
Yes, I can't. But even when they found the first guy in the forest, he was eating the deer.
Yeah, that's gross, yeah.
All I could think of was, years ago, DC and I used to watch Smallville in the morning while mm-hmm. we were eating breakfast. DC loves Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Loves her. And so we're watching it, and I see her name in the credits. And now, obviously, it was an old show, so it was before she was Amy Adams, the movie star. You know, she was just mm-hmm. doing guest shots, and I was like, oh, DC, Amy Adams is in the show. And so we're watching it because he loves Amy Adams. And in the middle of the episode, she's in the middle of the road eating a deer. And I'm like, ew. Oh my God, I traumatized a child. It was so gross. But that's all I could think of when I saw that scene of him in the woods eating the deer. And let me tell you, if there's any episode about feet, you're going to have to do it by yourself. Because they're hitting every one of my things that I can't stand.
Oh, that's too funny.
But I did think it was funny that Artie, who didn't even want to stay with the kid in the hospital, who's totally uncomfortable around children, was the one who got Danny to talk.
Yeah, and it was nice. The son, he saw Micah shaking.
Right.
And he said that she can have the glasses. That was really sweet.
And you could tell they all did. They were all mm-hmm. kind of shocked. But other than that, I really didn't like the A plot of this episode, so I didn't have a lot to say about it.
Yeah.
But I did like the Claudia, Steve.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dwayne, whatever his name is, part of it. So I guess we'll find out about Dwayne.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Well, if you have nothing, I have nothing else.
No, that was it. That was it on that one.
All right. Well, then we will see you next week for, we're on 11 next, I think.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you next week for episode 11.
All right, see you next week.
Una burrito grande especial. Por favor, rápido. Gracias, comprendi.
Yeah, I get it, gringo. I speak English, bro.
Okay, well, I'm just, you know.
Gracias, señor. $6.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 3, episode and nothing. Emily Lake. Bye now!
Bye.
Bye!
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse. On Twitter at Eureka Warehouse. On Instagram at Eureka_warehouse. On our website at the13thwarehouse.com or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.